I can't even play the radio. Did you listen to how quiet it got in here? Lord has a way of quieting you down sometimes. I like for you to liven up every now and then, but sometimes it's good to be quiet and listen. Go ahead and open your Bibles over to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter number 2. Thankful for what we have heard already. Do pray God to bless us in the rest of our worship service. I'm going to read just one verse to you for our text this morning. I'll tell you up front, I'm going to do my best to stay as elementary, as simple as I can. That's usually not too hard for me. But I'm not going to try to impress you with my oratory or my biblical knowledge. I can't do that anyway. It's no use trying. But I want to stay so simple that even a child can understand what I'm saying this morning. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" He says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. I want to read just that one verse to you this morning. Now, I'm going to pull that verse truthfully. I'm going to pull it a little bit out of its context of what it was intended in the original, I think. And I'm going to apply it in a different way, if I can this morning. Paul said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? As you can tell by the screen, my message is simply entitled this morning, "It is Great." Now, I'm not Tony the Tiger, and this is not a commercial for Frosted Flakes. I'm going to talk to you something about something that's greater than that. Now, I'm going to concentrate primarily this morning and thinking about and talking about the greatness of our salvation. I'm not going to be able to scratch the surface of that. But I must say something, I think, about the warning, the dire warning that's given us here by the Apostle Paul. How shall we escape? How are you going to escape? Where are you going to hide? Where are you going to go from the all-seeing eye and all of an all-knowing God? How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? I mean, that's worth your consideration. How much more time do you think you really have? How much longer are you going to live? Come on, how many more times are you going to hear the gospel? How many more opportunities are you going to have? Do you even think that you're going to be here tomorrow? Do you even think that you're going to live through the rest of this day? How are you going to escape if you neglect so great salvation? Listen to me, folks. Today is the day of salvation. Really and truly, you may not have tomorrow. I'm here to tell you, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I'm being as simple as I can be with you. But listen, it is a glorious thing to be able to say, I am saved. Salvation is great. It is a glorious thing. We sing, I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. And while I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, He says, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and all the half has never yet been told. It is a glorious thing to say, I am saved. We sing, I saved by the blood of the crucified one. Once ransomed from sin and a new work begun, if I'm quoting that right. But he said, sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. It is a glorious thing to be saved. Saved by His power divine. Saved through new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved. Saved, saved. I hope you can say that this morning. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 8, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And that a frightening, frightening thought. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I think that I have 1 Samuel chapter 19 also on the screen. I think I did. This verse came to my mind where it says, for he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistines. And the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. And he says, thou sawest it and didst rejoice. I'm telling you, folks, salvation is great, and it is a glorious thing to be able to say, I am saved. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, in the spirit of trying to stay as elementary and as simple as I can, I want to tell you two important things. I want to tell you, number one, why you need to be saved, and I want to tell you how you are saved. Now see, those two things are the most important things in your life. Now, I just got to be honest with you. Far too many preachers, far too many pastors, as Brother Jay was talking about this morning in Sunday school class, but far too many preachers and far too many pastors mess up this great doctrine of salvation. Far too many men today like to say, well, if you just bow your head with me and you repeat after me, you know, and they will have you pray some made up silly prayer that they call the sinner's prayer. I want to be very clear with you folks. You are not saved because you pray. Prayer is not what saves a man, you say. You do not bow your head and just utter some magic words and then all of a sudden you're saved. That's not it at all. We have messed this thing up way too much. Others say, well, if you'll just step out, then God will meet you halfway. Or how many times have you heard the overzealous evangelist say, you know, if you need to be saved, just raise your hand. Well, I want to be clear to you. You're not saved because you pray. You're not saved because you step out. You're not saved certainly because you raise your hand. You are saved. If you're saved, you are saved by the grace of God. If you're saved, you're saved by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes when the Holy Spirit of God gets hold of you and shows you your sin and reveals unto you your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes only when you're brought to the end of yourself and you realize that the only hope that you have in this world, in this life, and it is what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. Salvation comes, folks, only when you realize that you're lost. That's why you need to be saved. You're lost and you're on your way to hell. And if God doesn't do something, if God doesn't intervene in your heart and your life, you're going to go to hell. You realize you are an enemy of Almighty God. You have never done one thing in your life that has not been tainted by your sin and by Adam's sin. You have broken God's law in every category and you are lost. And salvation happens when God brings you to a realization that you have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. I know if Christ did not save me, I had no hope at all in this world. Salvation comes, folks, when you turn from your sins, you repent of your sins then, and you trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You don't bow your head and mumble a few magic words. No. It's where you completely come to the end of yourself, and you know that the only hope you have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying very hard to be very simple, but that's why you need to be saved, and make no mistake about it. That's how you are saved. It is from turning from your sin, crying out for mercy, and you know if God doesn't save you, you'll never be saved. That's it. And I want to tell you, salvation is great. Salvation is great because we have a great God. That's it. Salvation, I didn't realize I put that up there. It's up there. Salvation is great because we have a great Savior. He is the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Salvation is great because it produces the greatest of changes. Listen, when God gets hold of you, when God gets through with you, let me tell you, the liar doesn't lie anymore. The drunkard doesn't get drunk anymore. The adulterer doesn't commit adultery anymore. The drug addict doesn't take drugs anymore. You are a new creature. Now I know many times after God saved me, I failed and I faltered, but it is not the pattern of my life. There has been a change in my heart. It produces the greatest of change. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Salvation is great. It is great because it reaches the greatest number of people. Hey, I am not afraid to say it is for the whole world. Don't be afraid of that. It is for the Jew and for the Gentile. It sure is. It is for the whosoever. I'm not afraid to say that. In fact, I like saying that. Whosoever meant me. That's right. He reaches the greatest number of people. It's not just for the black, the white, the yellow, and the red. It is for all of us are saved in the same way. It is great because it's paid for with the greatest price. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin. I'm just getting warmed up. I love this stuff. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold received from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but He says with the precious blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is great because it is the greatest of gifts. God gives it to me. I did not earn it. I did not deserve it. God just saved me. Hallelujah. I mean, we go on and on. That you could add, it's great because it gives us the greatest hope. Nobody has the hope. Paul said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Isn't that glorious? Salvation is great. Bless your heart. If you have really experienced that kind of thing in your life and in your heart, you shouldn't be such a deadhead. You ought to rejoice in that. I am saved by the grace of God. Rejoice. Rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. Salvation is great. But how are you going to escape? Do you think you have that much time? I'm not afraid to say stuff like that. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. How many more times are you going to hear the gospel and walk out? Let me tell you, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want to see you saved. I'm not mixing any words. I want to see you saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is too late, you see. Salvation is great. I've just messed all this up. That's all right. We'll go with it anyway. It's so simple, but here goes. Number one, salvation is great because of its desirability. Now write that down. Here's what I mean by that. Folks, let me just tell you. God's way. Jay quoted it this morning in Sunday school, and I didn't coordinate with Brother Jay at all. And he didn't with me. But Jay quoted this morning where it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto the man. The problem is, it is the way of death. But I will tell you, God's way can provide us something that nothing else, no one else can provide us. It's a desirable thing because God is the only one that can offer you absolute assurance of forgiveness of your sins and of a heavenly home. Now, if that was all it was to it, that'd be great, but it's even more than that. Let me tell you, the Muslims today, they look for nirvana, you know. Other folks look for a utopia. The atheist ain't looking for nothing. But listen, God's people has the assurance that we have a home in heaven. Listen, as I said, if salvation did nothing else but cleanse you of your sin, forgive your sins, that's a glorious thing. But it gives us absolute assurance of all. Jesus said, I do much more than that. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is a desirable thing. I cannot I know about, I'm not a simpleton when it comes to the Scripture, not totally. I know what the Bible says. I know it says men love darkness rather than light. But since God saved me, I can't figure out why that is. Who in the right mind would not want to be saved? That's the way I think. Listen, salvation does, number one, it solves a great, great problem. And matter of fact, it solves a problem that nobody else can take care of. You know what it is? It is a sin problem. You want to know what your problem is, folks? Your problem is that you have a sin problem. And you have no answer for that problem whatsoever. We are sinners. Your problem is that your sin has separated you and God. And I want to be clear. The real problem today is not poverty. The real problem is not lack of education. The real problem is certainly not social injustice or equity. I almost want to throw up when I say the word equity. I'm so sick of hearing that word in today's society. Well, I want to tell you, your problem has nothing whatsoever to do with social injustice or social inequity. Your problem has to do with sin. And man does not have an answer whatsoever for that sin problem. And no amount of change in your life is going to fix that sin problem. God is the only one that has a remedy for that. It is a desirable thing. By the way, you ever wonder why we do what we do? You ever wonder why we act the way we act? I look out in society today and I see how people are conducting themselves. I think, man, why in the world? How do we get so abominable and filthy and depraved? Why do we do what we do? We do what we do because of sin. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. But let me tell you, God's salvation, it solves a great problem. Number two, it also saves a great sinner. Because listen, here's why you need to be saved. You are a sinner. And I got bad news for you. You are a sinner from the time you are conceived in the womb. Sure are. The psalmist says, you come forth from the womb as soon as you're born speaking lies. You're beautiful little babies. I love them to death. But you don't have to teach your babies to lie. It just comes natural. They're just natural born liars. Right? You are a sinner by nature, by practice, and by choice. And I want to tell you, folks, that's a big, big problem. Here's the problem. All have sinned and come short. Now, as I told you, there's a very important picture there in that wording. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Picture is that of an archer drawing back his bow. I love the bow one. When he releases his arrow, he misses his mark. I've done that a few times in my life. Still do that. But the thing is, he didn't miss his mark left or right. He fell short. That's the way you are. No matter how good you try to be, you always fall short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and the Bible says, so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. That's your problem. Let me tell you, salvation solves a great problem, saves a great sinner. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, he said, of whom I am chief. Number three, salvation secures a great privilege. It does something that nobody else or nothing else can do. It actually saves your soul. Isn't that glorious? Folks, it makes you a child of God. It takes you from being a sinner to being a saint. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light for my soul, for which long I have sought. since Jesus came into my heart. God's salvation is great, folks. It is great because of its desirability. Isn't that simple? Number two, it is great because of its dependability. Now, I'm just going to take my time. Simply what I mean by that is that it accomplishes every time what it has been advertised to accomplish. Right? It accomplishes every time what it sets out to do. It is 100% reliable. It's 100% dependable. God does not try to save anybody. I'm really getting on my hobby horse today. I get sick of preachers saying that. God's trying all He can do. I mean, you tell two lies. God never tries. God never does all He can do. Here's what Jeremiah said. I'll misquote it, but I'll give you the gist of it. My word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose whereunto it was sent. You can depend, you rely. I've talked to so many people at some point in their life, they wrestle with the assurance of their salvation. They say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm really saved or not." Well, some of you might be good if you ask yourself that question. Because you don't have no evidence of it in your life. Shouldn't have to invite you to come to church. You should be in church every time the doors are open. Let's just be honest. You should want to come to church, shouldn't you? You should want to read your Bible. But let me tell you, I believe what God's Word says. Not what I feel, not what I think. I remember the day when God brought me to the end of myself. See, there are two things you can say about God's salvation. Number one, it's free. Number two, it's fast. It's free. Revelation chapter 22 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." I love that word. It's free. It's fast. In other words, it doesn't take a long time to accomplish what it... Hey, salvation is an instantaneous kind of thing. He saves us to the uttermost. Right? Someone said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. It is an instantaneous thing that you're saved. It's glorious. Now think of it like this. And I put these three things. I want you to think about this. Number one, salvation is a transformation. Now, that's not the best word I could have chosen. I couldn't figure out a better word. I hesitate to use that word, but we'll use it anyway. Salvation is actually a transformation where God changes us from a sinner into a saint. Isn't that glorious? He changes us from a lost sinner into the one who's going to be made in the image of Jesus Christ. Again, what a wonderful change. It's a transformation. Listen to the testimony of one of the, by his own admission, was one of the greatest sinners, according to Paul. He said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me," in 1 Timothy, "who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And then he says, verse 2 below that, "And this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners." Thank God for that. It is a transformation. Number two, it is a transition. I mean, it's a glorious transition. It is a transition from our status, from our condition. It is a passage. I like that. think of it like this. It is like a passage from death unto life. Matter of fact, that's exactly what it is. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Glory. Think of it as a transition from the bleakest, darkest room into the brightest, radiant light you can imagine. That's what it is. Think of it as a passage from Israel, who was in slavery and bondage in Egypt, and taken to a land that had flowed with milk and honey. If you think of it in that light, you get an idea, folks. It is a transition. He takes us from sinner to saint. From light, from death unto light, from light unto darkness. It's a transition. The third thing is, it is also a turning. That salvation is a turn. It is a complete 180 degree turn in your life. It is. You are not the person you used to be. Now, as the old saying goes, I know I'm not what I need to be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what even what I could be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Salvation is glorious. It is great because of its desirability. Number two, is great because of its dependability. And I just want to tell you, folks, only God can save a lost sinner. You got to come to the end of yourself, don't you? Last thing, it is great because of its durability. Now, I like this one. And I thought about this. Every religion has its escape clause in there. In other words, if you do things by their rules, then you'll be all right. But if you step out of line, you're a goner. Man, what kind of salvation is that? Listen. God does things a little bit different. I can tell you by the authority of the Word of God, not what I think, not what I feel, not what you think, not what you feel. But I can tell you by the word, authority of the Word of God, God's salvation is forever. God never does anything halfway. God promises us life, everlasting life. You know what? When John 3:16 says, "And God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God promises everlasting life. God gives everlasting life. That's it. God promises we'll never perish. Jesus said in John 10:28, and you look it up yourself, "And I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. And my Father which gave you me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand." God promises that we'll never perish. Guess what? We'll never perish. God promises that we'll never be cast out. Jesus said that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Read it for yourself in John 6:37. That's verbatim what it says. He says we'll never be cast out, and guess what? We'll never be cast out. He says He'll save us to the uttermost. The Bible says He is able to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. It is 12:10. I can tell time. He's there right now interceding for us. He says He saves us to the uttermost. He will save us to the uttermost. Forever. It's forever. I thought about this. I listed 8 or 9 things on, I think I put these on the screen. Just think about this. Because of the cross of Christ, Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. He was wounded that we might be healed. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. Isn't that glorious? He was despised that we might be loved. He died that we might live. He was made a curse that we might be blessed. He was poor that we might be made rich. He was rejected that we might be accepted. I hate for somebody to say, all you got to do is accept Jesus. That's a lie. I'm just glad He accepted me. Matthew Henry said this. He says, come and see the victories of the cross. Christ's wounds are your healings. His agonies, your repose. His conflicts, your conquests. His groans, your songs. His pains, your ease. His shame, your glory. His death, your life. His sufferings, your salvation. It's a glorious thing to say, I'm saved. Salvation's great. Do you want to be saved? You turn from your sin. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a verse of Scripture. I don't know why I do notes, because I just blow them all to pieces. But there is a verse of Scripture came to my mind. And I remember reading what one commentator said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. It's one of the most glorious verses of Scripture in the Bible. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. You don't mess that up anymore. I think it was John Phillips says, where else can you find contained in one verse the scope and the simplicity and the substance of all the gospel? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Quit trying to be saved. Come to the end of yourselves. Call on Him. God will save you. How much time do you think you have left? How many more times do you think you're going to hear the gospel? Today is the day of salvation. I quit. Let's stand. Father, we bow in Thy presence, praying You work grace.